If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Tonight's video. The first story is about an individual in a small town in the state of West Virginia, where a local myth involves a missing hiker, and people have reported seeing him, his torchlight in the distance, in the trees and the brush beyond. And what he encounters will shock you. Then we head over to the state of New Hampshire, where someone is trying to cope and understand the apparent suicide of his twin sister. But was it a suicide? You will soon find out tonight. Then lastly, we head to the state of Illinois, where this individual and a group of his friends that were sleeping over investigate these weird occurrences that keep happening in his basement. Stay tuned. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Now, let's get spooky. Torchlight. There's an old urban legend in my town. As the story goes, sometime in the early 80s, a hiker got lost in the wilds. All through the night, people in nearby camps saw his torchlight, but never responded. He was presumed dead months later. From then on, they say at night near the brush or in nearby towns, a torchlight with no apparent source could be seen. A remnant of the hiker trying to get out. Over the years, the tale took on a sinister tone, bringing with it an aura of dread as it's mentioned. When I heard the story, I laughed. Such terror for a ghost who shone a torch? It was ridiculous. How wrong I was. It all started with a dare. I dare you to go out into the forest and summon the hiker. Davy held the torch under his chin, shadows dancing in a hideous mask. Psst, I scoffed. A silly ghost story. That's not even scary. There were five of us. Davy, Anna, Mace, Katrina, and me. Sprawled in various positions on Davy's bedroom floor. Our costumes laid around the room, mixing with old socks and half-finished mugs of tea. Kat stuffed her mouth with another handful of Halloween candy into her mouth. Her chewing filled the otherwise silent room. After a pause, Davy continued. Well, if you think it's fake, then prove it. Fine, but you all have to come with me to see how stupid y'all are. We snuck out on the pretense of going for more candy and rode our bikes to the edge of the forest. The story specified that the torchlight and presumably the hiker only appeared on certain nights, but apparently we were lucky. Not long after venturing into the murky trees, a flash of brilliant white began to dart through them. Hey, Mr. Hiker! I called out. The light flashed, as though in acknowledgement. We chased the light deeper into the forest, our torchlights flashing, becoming increasingly erratic. Suddenly, it stopped. A blanket of darkness descended around us, suddenly endless and suffocating. I could feel Davy's breath on my neck, and Anna's had a grip on my arm. Mace's squeal disappeared into the trees. A faint sound came from far away, slowly getting closer. A faint scuffing sound, like shoes over carpet. The scuffling became a scraping, the leaves cracking under its touch. The scraping became a canopy of cracking trees and falling debris, as a frenzied, panting voice charged towards us. "Run!" Cat's voice snapped me out of my trance as Anna dragged me from the trees. As I ran, a slice of moonlight illuminated our pursuer. I almost threw up. The creature was snow white and hairless from head to toe, comically enlarged arms reaching out for us, tipped in blood-stained claws. A tattered outfit and backpack hung perilously off its frame, a hiking backpack. So the hiker hadn't perished at all. Mace was the first to die. He tripped on a tree root, face planting into the soil. The hiker reached him moments later, tearing him apart with his claws. A spray of something warm and wet pelted my back as Mace screamed and screamed and screamed. Anna and Cat were next. Cat was slowing, getting tired. The monster took her too, this time savagely ripping her apart like a doll. Anna pushed me away as her foot caught on another root and something tripped, her eyes pleading with me to run. I sprinted through the forest alone, branches and thorns ripping into my skin. Tears ran down my face, mingling with dirt. My heart pounded in my throat, and I felt a phantom breathe on my back. I whimpered, convinced that the hiker was behind me. I felt heavy as my foot met air and crashed down with a sickening crack as my leg erupted in pain. I squeezed my eyes shut, expecting claws in my flesh at any moment. After a few seconds of silence, I opened my eyes. The hiker watched me. Its face was haggard and pale, his eyes pitch black, puddles of emptiness. It opened and closed its mouth, revealing red stained teeth, and turning away, sprinting into the forest. In the end, the sheriff found me and took me home. I was taken to a hospital to get my leg fixed, and found that Davy was found alive and whole, but was in shock in a ditch at the outskirts of the forest. They ruled the others as an animal attack. Years passed, my leg healed, and we moved away from our remote country town. I settled down, got a job, started a family, but I never forgot the hiker nor the torchlight. I researched whenever I could, piecing together old cases and possible culprits. Soon, I had part of the picture complete. What the stories don't say is that the hiker, which my research reveals to be one Moses Parker Smith, never had his body recovered. The attacks, a string of brutal mutilations of people in the surrounding area ruled as animal attacks, began soon after. My cursed adventure was only one in a long line of mysterious deaths. But then life got in the way. COVID hit, and I was left scrambling to adapt to the changing world. I didn't notice until it was far too late to realize that similar attacks were being reported farther and farther from the forest. One night, I saw a torchlight flashing in the distance from my window. At first, I dismissed it as some kids messing around. Then poor Amara Green was ripped to pieces 2 miles from her house. I haven't mentioned one detail of my research yet. Everyone who was present during the hiker's attacks died, except me and Davy. I don't know why he let us live that fateful night, but he's coming to finish the job. For the torchlight isn't a cry for help. It's a warning. Figure by the edge of the forest. I woke up this morning feeling positive for a change. I have been down ever since the passing of my twin sister. The feeling of something being missing is still hanging heavily inside my heart. But things must go on. I opened the door and walked towards my red mailbox. I haven't been checking my mail since I came back home from the funeral, to be precise. I haven't been out of my house a lot. I have been battling with depression ever since I got the call from a hysterical Johnny with the news of my sister's passing. It's like I could still feel her presence, her pain, her thoughts. I even adapted a few of her habits over the past 6 months. But today, I decided I should move on for the both of us. She would have wanted me to be happy, which reminds me, I need to check on Johnny. I haven't heard from him since the funeral. I took a deep breath and opened my mailbox. Strange, there was only one big brown envelope. The kind you would get important documents in. I took it out and scanned the paper. No address, nor a return address. Only my name written in some weird red substance that kind of had a strange sour smell. The handwriting looks strangely familiar, but I cannot think where I had seen it before. I closed the mailbox and walked towards my house, but for a brief second, I felt like someone was watching me. I had turned around and I looked, but saw nothing. I shook off the feeling and made my way inside the house. Once inside, I took a seat on the sofa, opening the envelope. A cold shiver went down my spine as I read the context of the first page. My sister's missing diary pages were now in my hands. I took a deep breath and began to read the pages. April 8th, 2022, Friday, 4 p.m. Dear Diary, the strangest thing happened today. I saw a figure by the edge of the forest watching me from a distance. He was dressed in a black robe of some sort. His face was covered in a white mask. I spent a good 5 minutes just staring at it from my living room window. I called out to Johnny. But when he got to the window, he said he didn't see anyone. And sure enough, when I turned my attention back towards the figure, it was gone. I'm not sure what to think. Nat. April 9th, 2022, Saturday, 4 p.m. Dear Diary, I saw the figure by the edge of the forest again, standing there, just watching me, judging me as I'm sure it's the neighbor's children playing a prank on me. But somehow, I cannot shake the feeling of it being something more sinister. Nat. April 18th, 2022, Monday, 3:30 p.m. I haven't been writing much, haven't seen the figure either. Maybe it was all a fragment of my imagination. Nat. April 19th, 2022, Tuesday, 1:30 a.m. Dear Diary, I woke up to a sound by my window. It sounded like knocking. Johnny is fast asleep next to me. I'm not sure how he cannot hear it. Is it my imagination? Oh gosh, it sounds like scratching. I'm going to wake Johnny up and I'm sure someone is there. April 20th, 2022, Wednesday, 2:45 p.m. Dear Diary, last night I woke up Johnny because of the noise by the window when he went outside to check it. There was nothing there. No trace of scratches on the window, no footprints in the mud, nothing. I'm losing my mind. Nat. April 24th, 2022, Sunday, 1340. Dear Diary, I went for a jog in the forest to clear my head, something my therapist described to me to do along with my anxiety pills. I haven't seen the figure nor heard any sounds. Maybe it was the stress about the wedding getting to me. Nat. April 27th, 2022, Wednesday, 17:30. Dear Diary, I got a strange note with my mail. No address, no return one either. Just a letter written in a strange red substance saying, 48 hours left. I'm not sure what to think of it. Nat. With shaking hands, I read the last diary entry, with tears falling freely. My sister's death was ruled out as a suicide. But why do I have proof of a murder sitting in my hands? As I moved my hand to wipe away the falling tears, the pages fell to the floor. That's when I noticed the note written in the same red substance behind the last diary page. 5 minutes. As I looked out my living room window, I could see a figure dressed in a black robe with a white mask. With shaking hands, I dialed 911. But the only sound I got back from the phone was, "Your time is up." Something followed me around my basement, and it's finally gone upstairs. I've always told my friends that my house is haunted. It used to be a joke. Used to be. My basement had always had an odd feeling to it. It makes weird noises. The temperature fluctuates constantly. And then there are the echoes. Sometimes, when I walk around, I hear someone, something, walking right behind me. I assumed it was the echoes at first, but it never happened on a consistent basis. Regardless of the numerous perfectly rational explanations for what could be causing the footsteps, it creeped me out so much I began a ritual of sprinting up the stairs, throwing open the door and shutting it behind me as fast as I could whenever I heard them. Thankfully, they never followed me up. Until last week. My neighbor was experiencing a power outage at night due to high winds, and my phone was about to run out of charge. I remembered a battery charger I had stored in the basement after a hiking trip. Now, I wasn't thrilled about having to run downstairs in the dark, but I was bored and didn't want my phone to die. At first, everything was fine. I was rummaging around looking for my charger, getting frustrated with myself for not remembering exactly where I'd put it. The wind was raging outside, so I didn't hear them at first. The footsteps were walking on their own, and they were coming towards me. As they got louder, I was alerted to their presence and forced myself to turn around. Nothing but darkness. I bolted upstairs, with the footsteps close to my trail but slightly out of sync with my own. It sounded like a heartbeat. Thump, 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 thump. I made it to the top, opened the door, and slammed it shut behind me. I heard something bang into the wood, followed by footsteps getting fainter. Had it gone back down? I breathed a sigh of relief. F that shit. I moved a chair under the doorknob just in case. A couple of days ago, I decided to invite some friends of mine over to stay the night. We had been watching old paranormal shows and wanting to conduct our own investigation. I offered up my basement. I hadn't been back since the power outage. We brought a temperature reader, spirit box, and headlamps, as well as we brought our own cameras and flashlights. Looking back, it was certainly overkill and a little ridiculous, but the humor of it eased my fears of returning to the basement. I wanted my house back. Two of my friends stayed upstairs, and the other three went down into the basement with me. We were cracking jokes in the lead-up, but it was clear that the mood was tense. We moved the chair out from under the doorknob, and we carefully opened the door and peered inside. Everything looked normal. I let out a sigh. At least the thing hadn't trashed my stuff. Slowly, we all made our way down the stairs. We left the lights off and used flashlights to see in front of us. After about a half an hour of fiddling with the temperature reader and the spirit box and getting no significant results, we were about to call it a night. That was until we realized our mistake. We had left the basement door open. We hadn't heard from the two friends we left since we entered the basement. But we were so caught up in our own investigation, we hadn't even noticed. The four of us practically threw ourselves up the stairs, calling their names the entire way up. They never responded. We made our way up, only to find an empty room. Our friends had disappeared entirely. No screams, no loud noises. Nothing. The police never found them. Every few days, another person goes missing. In the lead up to their disappearance, some of the victims reported hearing footsteps behind them. Every time they appear, they got louder. Please, lock your doors, and if you hear something walking right behind you, run. I'm sorry.